Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Andy Bunker. Nirvana, very apropos on a day like this. Joe Patrick here next to me.
It is a very Nirvana.
Very Nirvana feel.
And a great call by Noel.
Noel.
Going Nirvana against the Seahawks. You know,
yeah.
Seattle
grunge
band.
Grunge band, yeah. Okay. I was just talking to somebody about Nirvana. I see it. And I feel like I'm in Seattle right now.
I know, honestly.
It's cold.
You think the Seahawks will feel like they're a home team today, just given the weather? Falcons play indoors, maybe that helps.
They do, yeah. It'll be a cool 75 degrees over there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, it's going to be it'll be pretty nice over there inside. I cannot wait to go in there, but I also cannot wait to tell you that the halftime show is coming up and later on. So stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster halftime show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. But we got to get to the injury report, because this is a Seahawks team that's, you know, was injured. They're getting healthy. Falcons, they're injured. And this injury report is brought to you by Baron Burton's Fire Shire, bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to learn a little bit more. But Joe, catch us up on this injury situation.
Well, the big news this week, we are keeping tabs on it with Drake London's status. He's dealing with a PCL sprain, and it did seem like early in the week maybe there was an opportunity for him to potentially practice and get himself ready for this game. He is going to miss. He did not practice at all this week. Don't know if it would have shaken out different maybe had the Falcons maybe, you know, if this game was really important for them to win, if they were kind of in say playoff contention. They are technically still in playoff contention right now, but obviously it's on very, very, very much on the outskirts. By the way, the Falcons to make the playoffs, they would have to win out.
Yes,
that would be difficult enough in and of itself.
Got to win five games in a row,
and they need like very specific things to happen for both the Panthers and Bucks. And basically their only chance to make the playoffs is through winning the division at this point. The wild card's basically out the picture. So anyway, getting a little far afield here. Drake London going to miss today's game. DeMarco Hellam's also going to miss. I believe he's been put on IR. Am I correct in saying that, Garrett?
Yes. So he was added to the he was added to injured reserve. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, so he will miss at least the next four games. And in his wake, to fill that vacant spot, the Falcons opted to sign wide receiver Devin Tompkins.
That's
who
right.
Was the topic of a lot of conversation at Flowery this week, especially on Wednesday. I know that you and I were both up there for that. But Devin Tompkins, he kind of brings a bit of a speed element. That's what Raheem Morris said on Wednesday about him. And, I mean, Kirk Cousins said was complimentary. He had he had two catches in the game, one of which went for 19 yards against the Jets. And it was good. I mean, look, he got down the field, he found space, and he made a play. And that's what the Falcons need from their wide receiver core right now. Just a guy who's going to get in there and make a play. But and then one more corresponding move that happened yesterday, C.J. Henderson.
I was going to add, C.J. Henderson has been elevated for today's game. Doesn't mean he's necessarily going to play. We'll find out at about 11 o'clock, that whether he's going to play or not. Maybe it's 11:30, actually. I believe it's 11:30, about whether he will actually be active for this game. But kind of an interesting one. He's a little bit different of a cornerback physical profile than what the Falcons otherwise have on the field. He's a guy who the Falcons signed in training camp. He's a former, I believe, number 3 overall draft pick, C.J. Henderson was. He was drafted ahead of A.J. Terrell in that same draft at cornerback, but he could potentially be playing for the Falcons today with DeMarco Helms out. Another big one, though, Garrett, Brandon Dorlus going to miss this game with a groin injury. That's a tough one for this Falcons team. I mean, Brandon Dorlus, we've talked a lot about their pass rush, and Brandon Dorlus has been such an important part. I know, obviously, the rookie edge, first-round edges are getting a lot of the pub for being able to get to the quarterback, and obviously those guys have been able to do it, but the Falcons' pass rush is really a group effort. Every time when they're having these games with 4 or 5 sacks, you go and look at the box score, and it's usually 4 or 5 different Falcons basically getting there once each, which is probably the best way you want to have a pass rush. That's kind of the ideal situation, is that, you know, opposing offenses are having to deal with any number of your defensive linemen able to get home, and so not having Brandon Dorlus out there is going to be tough for the Falcons.
Yeah, and look, this is he's your leading sacker, right? That's a tough loss in and of itself, but I love the point that you made, and it's something that we wanted to see with Jeff Ulbrich here coming down the stretch. He blitzed more than anybody in the NFL for the first part of the season. This season's first half, he literally was like half the time he's sending a blitz, and that's not necessarily what he wants to do. That's not what most defensive coordinators want to do. They want to be able to beat you with 4.
Mm-hmm.
That is the critical aspect of an effective pass rush, a truly effective pass rush. You don't have to send the extra bodies. You can get them back. They can confuse and mess with people, and that makes things difficult for a quarterback. And that is something that Brandon Dorlus played a crucial role in. So I know that James Pierce had the sack last week, and everybody talks about how he's had 4.5 sacks in his last 4 games, and that's great. He's pushing his name up the Defensive Rookie of the Year candidacy, and that's great. But when you go back and actually look at that sack, Joe, he gets that sack because of Brandon Dorlus.
Mm.
Because Brandon Dorlus, the way he attacks the right guard, he hits his outside shoulder and then uses that explosiveness, that athleticism to shoot back to the inside. He takes over the guard, and then he pushes in and he forces a double team onto the center. And the tackle is dropping backwards, and then James Pierce hits that spin move that's gorgeous. But he's dropping back like that because he feels his guard is coming in, and he has to worry about Dorlus. And then James Pierce hits that spin move, and then Tyrod Taylor's right in his lap.
Yep.
That sack happens because of Brandon Dorlus. Losing him for this game,
that's big.
It's big, and it's not just because he's your leading sacker.
And the team's also missing other players already, like Zach Harrison, who's on IR. You know, these players are important for creating that rush, exactly like you said, for those edge rushers especially. So somebody's going to have to step up in that regard. So those are the 3 guys that are out. Also, a couple questionables for the Falcons. More important players, although one, Chris Lindstrom, believe he's going to play.
He'll be okay.
Was limited a couple times this week, but he's practicing more and more.
He was a full participant and off the injury report on Wednesday.
Yep.
And then he hopped back
on. So that's a huge improvement.
If he
was practicing in full on Wednesday, that means he's good to go, pretty much.
He was more frequently a DNP than he was anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And then David Onyemata was a DNP, did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, got a limited practice in on Friday, which is, you know, makes me feel hopeful that he'll be able to play in this one. But, if he's not, the Falcons are really going to be down without him and Dorlus. So hopefully Onyemata will be able to go, but that's a big one.
And David Onyemata has probably been your most consistent run stuffer, I would say. I mean, that's been an area that has plagued the Falcons at times this season. And I mean, my God, it's been a tough run here. It's one of those spots where you kind of wish you had Taquan Graham, right?
Yeah, well,
kind of do. And you made the choice to let him go at one point. So it's kind of an injured Atlanta Falcons team. But then on the other side, the Seahawks, they activate Julian Love and Jaron Reed. Those are two really good players, man. So you talk about where the Falcons are in injury, and just as far as injuries go, and that's not even including a lot of the guys like, you know, Michael Penix, your starting quarterback, and the other nicks and bruises that a lot of these guys do have. Because I don't think, I mean, the Falcons, I mean, at this point, everybody's a little banged up. It's the NFL. You're in week 14. It's a grind. That's just what the NFL season is. But this offensive line has been so brutally beat up throughout the course of the season. We talked about Chris Lindstrom. He's questionable in this game. Matthew Bergeron is also still not healthy. He's not 100% healthy. He probably won't be until we get to the offseason. Jake Matthews, he's still wearing a bit of a brace at times. He's been dealing with that ankle, but he's such a warrior, he's not going to miss any time. I mean, you're obviously, we mentioned earlier, you're in third right tackle, you know? And this offensive line has just been beat up. And this is now a front that you're facing with Seattle that it's very similar to the Falcons in the sense that They can all get after you. But it's 17 different guys that had a sack.
Yep.
This offensive line, we talk about it on the Seahawks side, but this Falcons offensive line is going to be tested today.
But hey, at least the Seahawks will be without Riley Mills.
Woo!
Yeah, that's
Pride of Notre Dame.
Oh, well, congrats to you for even knowing that because I have no idea who that person is.
Oh, he was a beast.
As well as Derek Young. Those are going to be the two players that the Seahawks won't be without. I say that just kind of joke.
Tongue-in-cheek.
They're very healthy. The Seahawks, basically one of the healthiest teams you could be in the NFL right now, especially like we talked about getting Reed and Love back and onto that defense, is going to make life all the more difficult for the Falcons offense and for Kirk Cousins. And to the point that you were making about protecting this offensive line, it's going to be very important to protect Kirk Cousins in this game, and when that's going to be so difficult because of what you were talking about with what the Seahawks do. It really feels like, you know, for Kirk Cousins to get into a rhythm and be able to move the football, he has to get really good protection at this point in his career. He's just not escaping, and there's got to be solutions for him to get rid of the football. And it's important that he does stay on the field and that this offense is able to pick up first downs, even if they aren't necessarily converting some of those drives into point-scoring drives, just to preserve your defense so that they're not out there on the field the entire game. But this Seahawks defense is going to make that really, really difficult for the Falcons today, and I worry that this game could just turn into one of those games where the Seahawks are just on the field. Their offense is going to be on the field for a vast majority, just wearing out this Falcons defense.
Yeah, and that's one where I get a little nervous about that aspect of it. But this is a team with the Falcons that has really struggled on third down specifically, and it's not winning first and second down. That's really what's been really plaguing this team. And we'll talk about the third down struggles in just a second, but staying one more thing on this pass rush issue for the Seahawks and what they present the Falcons. That is what killed the Falcons in this game last year. Kirk Cousins was on his butt more often than not, and it was just a really tough spot to come back from. And when you compare that to what this Falcons team is this year, you don't really have a deep threat. If you get into third and long, you just kind of shrug, and you're like, all right, you're going to drop back, and then they're going to send the house. And you've already struggled on third down. It's already been a very difficult spot for you so far this season. And if you get into those situations today, you mentioned it, you're going to be pushed off the field very quickly, and then this defense is going to be asked to hold up against JSN and Kenneth Walker and Cooper Kupp and this Rashid Shaheed, a guy that we're very familiar with here from his time with the New Orleans Saints. It's a tough spot for the Falcons.
And when you don't have that receiver that's really going to be able to stretch the field, I think it also impacts the run game, because what it allows is for opposing defenses to really just get more aggressive with their positioning, get more on top of these receivers, you know, play them in a little bit more press coverage, bring the safeties down closer to the box, and that's just going to make things more congested Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, and this Falcons offensive line and trying to get something established on the ground. So that, to me, has been the track record of what teams are doing against Kirk Cousins, specifically a Kirk Cousins-led offense, is just saying, beat us over the top. We dare you. You know, if you can do that, we'll tip our cap. But other than that, we're going to, you know, on the other side of that coin is we're going to make your life really difficult trying to do the bread and butter things you typically like to do.
And you talk about potentially beating us over the top and just threatening the Falcons to do that. They haven't really done that super well this year. And this is also, I mean, the Seahawks front, 88.8 yards allowed on the ground per game. It's one of the best marks in the NFL. Bijan is going to have a difficult test. He and Tyler Algier, but that's also one of the spots. I mean, this is the best unit that they have probably faced all season. I think we can say that with fairness. But this Falcons team has just been up and down. Up and down. And it's just a lot of the overall inconsistencies of this team. And it's why they sit at 4-8 at this point in the season.
Yeah, it is.
It really is just the reality of where we are right now. And look, 7-point underdogs at home at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's going to be a difficult game, but I have one little stat that might give you a little bit of Let's say. I'll tell you what that is when we get back. This is a Wade Ford Tailgate Show. My name is Garrett. That is Joe Patrick. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. You talk about what this team needs to do to go get a win, Joe. There are a couple things. Just play a complete game, please. Don't turn the ball over. Maybe force one or two of your own. And I teased a stat.
I've been waiting for this.
So when the Seattle Seahawks, they force a lot of turnovers, right? They're, I believe, sixth in the NFL in takeaways. But they're -4 in margin. That's not good. The Seahawks are.
Fascinating.
And that is because Sam Darnold, as good as he is, does turn the ball over.
Yes, and they seem to come in bunches.
They come in bunches. And he has 10 interceptions this season. As a team, they have 11. They also have 11 fumbles. So they put the ball on the ground, and they will give it away. There are several instances where they have turned the ball over 4 times in a game. They're 4-3 in those games. 4-3. If you get them over two turnovers, so if you get 3,
that's,
4, whatever.
That's all their losses.
They're 4-3. That's all their losses. It's still pretty good, by the way.
Yeah,
4-3 when you turn the ball over 3 or more times. That's crazy. But when they do not turn the ball over, if it's only one time, what is it? 7-0.
Yeah, undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that seems like a pretty clear indicator.
5-0.
Seems like a pretty clear indicator of what the Falcons need to do today. And the Falcons have been a team that has turned teams over as well. You know,
yeah.
Like they've got, you know, Xavier Watts is getting interceptions. Jesse Bates maybe not as much as we have seen in the past, but they're, you know, getting home. Again, like this Falcons defense to me is doing the things that they need to win football games. In fact, I would actually go so far, Garrett, as to say that we need to think about this Falcons team as being a defensive football team. And I think that if they really want to kind of reimagine themselves like going forward, again, to go back to the discussion we were having having about some other teams around the league, and specifically the Bears, and what the Bear Ben Johnson has kind of formulated the Bears into, from being a team that was Caleb Williams is our leader, and kind of we're all trusting that our star rookie or our star young quarterback is going to lead us to the promised land, and putting some more of the onus on the defense, on the run game, on these other areas of the team, so that Caleb Williams there then is then freed up to not have all this pressure on him. Feels like this Falcons team, they've got pieces on defense. Again, they've invested heavily into it, but you've got these two young rookie edge rushers that look like the cornerstone of what this defense is going to be. You've got Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell on the defensive side of the football. Caden Ellis, Divine Diablo has been a revelation at linebacker. You've got the – and then we talked about the interior defensive linemen in the last segment with guys like, Brandon Dorlis, Ruka Roro, those types of players. So you have so many kind of building blocks on that side of the football. I feel like just from an identity standpoint, that's what the Falcons can really lean on and then develop some of these other things. Obviously, you've got a young quarterback as well, although there's obviously a little wrinkle in that situation with the injury that Michael Penix suffered, but – that's just how I'm feeling about this Falcons team right now.
Yeah, this is a team who's just, I like the idea of thinking of the Falcons as a defensive first team. It flies in the face of kind of what we've come to expect from this franchise.
Definitely.
In my lifetime, certainly. You know, I mean, going back to the Vic days, I mean, that was still an offensive first team. That was a fun team to come watch and play at the Georgia Dome, and then you bring in Matt Ryan, and of course he's the greatest Falcon in this franchise's history, played here for many, 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 many years, led one of the greatest offenses in NFL history in terms of scoring and output, won an MVP, but they always lacked that one critical aspect, is an effective defense that was consistently good every single year.
Yeah.
And they seem to have that right now, but it's the unbelievable irony that all of a sudden, the wins just don't come with it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's coming back to making winning plays. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and again, I've made this comparison several times this season, and it's nothing novel, but like it's like a whack-a-mole situation. Obviously, the whack-a-mole is the game where at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever, you hammer in the little things that pop up out of the holes, and you see how many. And this Falcons team is just like, whenever they fix something, like they have been able to fix some things. As frustrating as the last few years have been,
red zone offense this year is a perfect example.
Totally, exactly. And they need it. They've been struggling at edge rush or just to get sacks, to get pressures for the longest time. They finally fixed that problem, but as soon as you fix that, then it's whatever is the next thing that is cropping up to hurt this team, whether it's a injury quarterback or an underperforming quarterback or, the special teams.
Going 0 for 8 on third down.
And these are the things that actually affect your ability to then, get the results that you need in order to obviously be a winner.
Yeah, and you talk about those winning plays. Raheem Morris was on with Dukes and Bell earlier this week, and he talked to them specifically about not relying on any excuses in regards to not making those game-winning plays.
We're not going to make those excuses, Mike. We had opportunities in that last three plays to make all three of those plays. We talked about Kyle Pitts one, you just mentioned DeSeals, but even the last play to Mooney, that hits him in the hands. And we got to, if one person can make that play, we're down right in position to figure out 47 seconds left, two timeouts. It's going to be about, 30, whatever seconds, and you're calling timeout, you're banging it. You need about five more yards to put yourself in position for a long field goal. And then you're making a choice of whether you're getting closer and how you want to do that. Now that puts, obviously Tyler and Bijan back into the game with the run game because you still got a timeout. Your screen game's still alive. You got the whole playbook right in front of you. Don't have to rush out of bounds. And then you can make a decision to, eat the clock up, kick the game, win the field goal, get out of Dodge. That didn't happen because we got to make one of those plays. And you got to make that play.
Yeah, you got to make plays. And he mentioned specifically talking about the Kyle Pitts and the David Sills drop. And, that was the moment in the game, Joe, that I felt that the Falcons were going to let it slip. At no point until then did I really feel like the Falcons were at risk of losing that game last week to the Jets. And it wasn't until that, I think it was the David Sills drop.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that moment that I think
that was
my
the second down drop, I believe.
It was the second down. So first down was Kyle Pitts. And that, look, you got to go make a great play. And that was his only incomplete pass that was sent his way, his only target that he does not catch. He has his best game of his career, or not career, excuse me, his season. This year he goes for, 82 yards on 7 catches, something like that. But that would have been a big one if you got that one. At some point, Raheem Morris talked about it on Monday. You just got to go make a play for your quarterback. You got to do what you got to do there. But the David Sills drop on the next play is inexcusable. You cannot do that.
He was wide open. Wide A open.
Yeah.
And it's not something you expect from David Sills, obviously. I know he'll be as tough as himself as anybody. And then I believe, does Darnell Mooney then have a drop on third down as well? So I believe it was three straight drops.
Three straight incompletions.
Yeah. The Pitts one, I don't know. That was a tougher catch. But, it's disappointing. And, it kind of underscores this notion of the Falcons receiver group where, like, if you don't have Drake London out there, you don't really have any receiver that you feel super confident in. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing considering I was certainly feeling pretty damn confident in Darnell Mooney last year after he goes for about 1,000 yards, just under 1,000 yards, and was really emerging, having his career year. And so was Ray McLeod at the time. And then things have really unraveled in that room where the team lets go of Ray McLeod early in the season. Darnell Mooney still has not been able to get himself going. And I feel like every week Raheem Morris is saying, we got to get Darnell going. We got to figure out how to unlock it. And they just have not been able to really figure it out on a consistent basis. And when you don't have Drake London, obviously not having those kinds of options is going to limit you offensively.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, Zach Robinson talked about it. Kirk Cousins talked about it. Michael Penix talked about it. I think the expression he used was, take off. He's going to take off soon. And I keep waiting for this takeoff. And the takeoff I thought happened in New Orleans.
Garrett's tray table is down. The seatbelt is buckled. He's ready for takeoff.
Ready for takeoff. And it's, I don't know, something happened on the runway.
Maintenance.
Yeah, there's maintenance. Something happened on the runway. And we're over at Hartsfield-Jackson just sitting there on the tarmac waiting for something good to happen. And that's just kind of how this Falcons team has felt this year, especially in that wide receiver room has been tough. And, I mean, look, I don't want to be too critical necessarily, but that was one of my unsung needs in the offseason. And it was not addressed at all. Like, the only addition that you really made was David Sills, and he was a practice squad guy at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was not something – it's very rare in the NFL that you see a team not add to an entire side of the football. They didn't add anything, really, on the offensive side. It was the expectation that, look, you're going to bring you're bringing Michael Penix in. He's going to be your new quarterback. You have Ryan Neusel. He's going to be your new center. Those guys started games for you last year. And generally what happens is when you're hoping on guys maintaining the level of a breakout season like Ray McLeod had, Darnell Mooney had probably his second best season as a pro last year, first in Atlanta. You're expecting those guys to come back and do that again? I don't want to call it reckless, but it's come back
overly
to bite
optimistic.
You. It's come back to bite you
it
this
has.
Year.
It has. And, you know, like, listen, in training camp, you know, it was clear that this team was expecting a lot. Not to say that they were expecting him to be, like, some, like, great receiver, but a real contributor in, like, a Casey Washington, for example.
Yes.
And in training camp, he was
good.
Catching balls. I mean, he was often on the receiving end of some of these deep balls that
we were
seeing. He was
starting at X.
Yeah, yeah. Right, because Darnell Mooney got hurt.
Because Darnell Mooney was hurt.
We later found out broke his collarbone on the first day of practice in training camp, and therefore, Casey Washington got a lot of play, and was playing well. And
it also
goes to, like, when I think about training camp, Garrett, I also think about Michael Penix hitting at least one of these, like, you know, big deep shots, like a 40-plus yard pass, like pretty much one per day, basically, I would say.
There was a wow.
He was hitting.
A wow moment.
Yeah, exactly,
yes.
Exactly. And even when Penix was healthy this year, did we ever get a deep shot like that? I know Kirk Cousins' deep shot to Darnell Mooney a couple of weeks ago was the Falcons' longest pass in terms of air yards in a few years. So it's pretty clear that, like, we didn't really see a lot of that in training camp. And so part of me thinks that it is personnel. Like, you're not staffed up in the receiver room like you would like to be. But I think there's maybe also some tactical things that are just not translating from what this team was expecting or preparing for in training camp and versus where they're at right now.
I heard the term explosive a lot in the summer, talking about what this team was going to be, throwing the ball downfield, hitting big plays. I mean, the thing with Bijan Robinson was unlocking that next level of him getting those explosive runs. His career long at the beginning of the season was 34 yards. He's done pretty well with that. I think he's done his job very well. The downfield passing attack certainly has not. And that's a spot where, I mean, you talk about this matchup today, it's critical.
And imagine where Bijan would be statistically if you did have a downfield passing attack. Because that, if you're attacking downfield and being successful doing that, you're starting to put that defense on their heels a little bit. You're starting to get those defensive backs kind of bailing out, you know, by the time the snap comes, and you're getting much better boxes for Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier to run into. And unfortunately, it's just been the opposite, where teams, like we were talking about earlier, especially when Kirk Cousins is playing, you're seeing press coverage, teams really kind of condensing the field and forcing these Falcons receivers to beat their opponents deep and for Kirk Cousins to be able to deliver that football, and it's just not coming together right now.
Yeah, and it's a really frustrating spot that the Falcons find themselves in, and that inability to do that effectively on first and second down, it lends itself to some of these other problems that this team is having. So it seems like all of these, it's football, everything's related.
Sure.
Everything is related, and it's not always as awful as it always seems, but for the Falcons, they feel like they're close. They feel like they're close in a lot of these games, but that's also just life in the NFL. If you are unable to win in those close moments, that's just who you are. And it's a difficult spot that this Falcons team finds themselves in. The Tailgate Show is brought to you by Baron Burton's Everyday Hot Sauce, your secret weapon off the bench. It's flavor that keeps your taste buds coming back for more. The ultimate playmaker for your game day cravings. The Bijan Robinson of your game day cravings. Pick up a bottle today at the WSauce.com. All right, when we get back, Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick, we're going to finish up the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Give some, I don't know, final thoughts on this game. You know, talk about the Falcons and Seahawks. Big underdogs here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but maybe there's a way.
Could they show us something today?
Maybe we learn something. We'll learn, and we'll figure it out. But that's going to be coming up at 1 o'clock when kickoff is here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, but we'll talk about that game. We'll give you a prediction right here when we get back on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 at The Game. See, this is better. Outkast, come on. No more Nirvana.
Okay.
Get that Seattle stuff out of here. Outkast, this is it. This is the A, man. Come on.
Oh, well, I was going to say, it is clearing up, actually. But when we first got here, and I know people don't really have maybe great understanding of kind of what our vantage point is here from the Steel Bridge at Centennial Yards. But usually, you know, we're kind of in the shadows, we like to say, of Mercedes-Benz Stadium and kind of see it towering. This new hotel building as well, I don't know the name of it, but it is also right here. We could not see it at all. But when we got here this morning, just white, just whiteness.
I didn't, a fog. I don't get lost very often, especially here in Atlanta. I don't get lost. It's not something I do. I have a pretty good sense of direction. I'm pretty proud of that fact. I got lost for a moment. There was like a split second where it's like in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where I am.
Well, yeah, because your visuals are not the same.
I don't have my landmarks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could see 150 feet in front of you.
Yeah,
it was so, so foggy this morning. Crazy stuff here.
But the closer we get to game time, the more it feels like back to Atlanta, back to normal weather. not the Seattle, you know, marine layer stuff that we were seeing earlier this morning.
At least we don't have that misty rain that they seem to have in Seattle. So yeah. At least we have that going for us. It is very chilly here. I feel a little bit nicer, though. We've got this wonderful heater that's coming, and it's keeping my legs nice and toasty.
He's got the jet powered heater. He's got the little hand warmers in the pockets.
I got the hand warmers. I'm still nursing this. I have one hand warmer that has not heated up.
Oh, it is a dud.
It is a dud. I think it's just an unfortunate thing, but I keep holding it and hoping for the best. We shall see. But it is a chilly day. It'll be a nice 75 degrees in there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And I'm starting to see some more tailgaters fill
and
up the parking lot back down. We got some pigskin being tossed around there. Got some adult beverages being drank. So things are livening up here around the stadium.
Yeah, and our friend over there with the freeze is not quite as freezing at this point. And look, folks are showing up. These are the MVPs, man. We're ready to get rolling. I see they got the tequila over there. They got some they got all kinds of fun stuff, man. This will be a lot of fun. And I absolutely need to come back here just as a fan. If I'm coming into maybe an Atlanta United match or maybe doing a Falcons game, whatever it is, this is a pretty cool area. And we talked earlier in the show that this is going to be an up-and-coming spot for when the World Cup comes
next
summer.
Which just this weekend was announced, the games that are
the group stage.
Oh, I mean, Atlanta got hosed on the games that they could have gotten.
Spain twice.
Yeah, Spain will be here twice, but that's about it, where there were some other really tantalizing matchups that could have happened that went down to Miami. But, you know, there will still be – it's the knockout games that are going to be really, really crazy, especially there's going to be a World Cup semifinal right here. That could be like Brazil, England or something like that. I mean, it's going to be two – Titans of the game playing right here.
And I'm just trying to think of what this area is going to be like when, because you see construction everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, cranes are up and going. They are gunning. And we talked at the beginning of the show, and I think it's been said many, many times, about that hotel that shut up in what felt like a month. I don't know. It just all of a sudden it's there. And then you have the Centennial Yards, obviously, here. And you have, this whole area is just popping off.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And you come down, you go to a game, a Hawks game at State Farm Arena. You've got your Mercedes-Benz Stadium and everything that's going on there. This place is so wonderful, and I got to come back over here. But, Joe, going back to this team and what the matchup is for the Falcons here in this game, you're a touchdown underdog at home, and it's a disappointing spot to find yourself in that area. And I think a lot of it comes down to, I would say, some inefficiencies on offense that you may have and some deficiencies that you might have. But the matchup I'm fascinated in is what does this Falcons defense look like against that Seahawks offense? I know Jeff Ulbrich talked a little bit about this, and I'm going to get your thoughts on in just a moment, about the challenge that these guys present both in the run and in the pass.
The running back, both running backs are a problem. They got a renewed dedication to it. They have, unbelievable balance regarding run, pass, searching for their explosives, et cetera, play action pass, drop back, do a good job of mixing all that stuff. And when you get into the passing game, it's pick your poison. You know, you want to try to take away 11 and 22 hits you. You want to try to take away 22, 88 hits you. You want to try to take away the receivers, the back becomes an issue. So it's going to be a great challenge.
Yeah, and look, JSN, he's pretty darn good, right? He had four targets last week, had just two catches, by far the lowest of his season, 23 yards receiving, a far cry from what he had throughout the course of the regular season. He's averaging 111 yards.
That's crazy.
111. And you know what? That puts him on pace to, I think, break what Julio Jones did back in 2015, where he goes off for 1,800 yards. He's on pace to get up there with Calvin Johnson and have a chance to really make some set some records. He's pretty darn good.
It's crazy too, because he's not like a physical specimen in the way that like Julio, Calvin were, where they were these big receivers who could make these big contested catches. He's just a pure route runner.
He's
so good at it. Yeah, he's so fluid on those routes. It's going to be a big challenge. And you know, again, we've been giving Seattle a lot of credit today, and I'm going to do it one more time. Got to give this team credit and Mike McDonald credit for, you know, he hired Ryan Grubb as his offensive coordinator last year. Let him go before the season even ended. I mean, they were about halfway through that year before he said, this is not working. We got to figure something out. And I don't even know who the interim was at the time. But then they go out and they get Clint Kubiak from New Orleans to come in. And he has just made a world of difference for this offense that, to Jeff Olberg's point, has turned them into a really threatening team in every aspect. Clint Kubiak coming from, you know, he's that outside zone, you know, very similar to what, you know, Arthur Smith kind of built this team on, and they're just so very good at it. And then the way that that also translates and marries with what they like to do in the pass game, it's just really remarkable. I think it's one of the reasons why I've heard a lot of Falcons fans saying if the team does decide to move on from their head coach, then Clint Kubiak is a guy that definitely needs to get a call, because he's really, really impressed everybody in the NFL this year.
He's had a great season. What he's been able to do with this offense, they've just done a marvelous job. And you got to give them their flowers. You got to do what you got to do. But you talk specifically about what JSN's able to do, and he's chasing some of those records. But another guy who's up there with him in, as far as those all-time great wide receiver seasons, is his teammate Cooper Kupp. I mean, of course, he's not having necessarily that elite season. He's far cry from what he was back in his Rams days. But he's still a guy who's a viable weapon who can burn you. And that's something where the Falcons have to be minding their P's and Q's. And Falcons secondary generally has done pretty well. I mean, you take away that nasty game that you played against Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, where he goes off for 400 yards passing. This is still a pretty darn good secondary, and they've only allowed 3 200-yard passing games, but Smith and Jigba is going to be a completely different type of talent. But you go back to what they do in the rushing attack. Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, they have the explosivity that could really hurt this Falcons team. That's a matchup that is going to be very important.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a very well-rounded offense. There aren't a lot of holes on this offense. And, you know, to your point about Cooper Kupp, I mean, he kind of helped not invent, but maybe really established this kind of role of the power slot, and that is like a receiver archetype that we hear about now. And that is basically what Drake London is. Now, Drake London is much more at this stage of his career, athletically dynamic, and obviously he has a different like physical profile than Cooper Kupp does. But yeah. Cooper Kupp is just so good at being that little gadget player who can, you know, find those, you know, craftily find those little holes in zone defenses that you always have to account for. And when you're always having to account for him, it makes it more difficult to account for Jackson Smith and Jigba and what he's able to do down the field.
Yeah, and then you go to that defense. They got some dudes too, man. Yep. I mean, this is just a good football
team. I mean, this is why Seattle's a touchdown favorite.
That's why they're 9-3.
Going from West Coast to East Coast in the 1 o'clock window, and they're touchdown favorites. I mean, they're just a very good team. And the Falcons, on the other hand, have clear vulnerabilities that they have to guard around. And so it's a difficult matchup for them.
It's going to be tough. This is going to be a difficult game for the Falcons. But we've also seen them rise to the occasion. They've done it against some of the best teams in the NFL.
That's a great point. They always step it up. I would expect nothing less than for them to give Seattle a handful today. But
the three teams, the three best teams that they've played, the Colts, the Bills, and the Patriots.
Yep.
Their two losses, one came in overtime by 6 points, one came by 1 point on a missed extra point that I'm still pulling my hair out about. And then the other one, you did something that I think you can do today. Got after Josh Allen. You got a big win. The offense hit a couple of plays early, and you were able to just maintain. Mm-hmm. If they can do something like that, I think they'll give themselves a chance, but it starts with how they start. If they can get some points and maybe not play from a deficit, playing from a deficit, that's when they're going to be able to.
Game state in your favor.
Game state has to be in your favor if you want to go get a win in this one. All right, we're going to give some final thoughts when we get back on the other side. Maybe a score prediction or two. You got one of those in you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
always.
We'll be all right. Yeah. Well, it is 10:49 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are just 10 minutes away from handing it over to the Falcons Radio Network. My name is Garrett. That's Joe Patrick. This is the Wait For It Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Just a couple of minutes left here. We got some score predictions. We got some other things. Final thoughts here. Falcons and Seahawks. Garrett Chapman. Joe Patrick here. Centennial Yards. People are showing up, man. We got people starting to roll
on
through.
It's starting to bounce now.
I just saw a Seahawk, Mr. Seahawk, El Seahawko. He came over.
That's right, Destry and Lisa.
Yeah,
thank you for coming over.
They came over here for a wedding anniversary or something like that. I think they said they drove. Is that what they said? I can't remember.
I don't know. I just know they traveled all the way here from Seattle.
That's a long
trip. Really, really impressive.
That's a long trip, and he had a wrestling mask on. It was kind of intimidating, but we'll see.
When the Seahawks were here last year, they showed up in this building really well. They really represented themselves well, so I'm sure there'll be a bunch today.
And they'll be a fun team. And look, let's give some final thoughts here, but I do want to say this before we do that. The Wait For It Tailgate Show is brought to you by by Motlick Injury Attorneys. Injured? Pick the right attorney. Choose Motlick. Call, pound, win. Talking about key to a win. Joe, what's one thing that you need to see happen?
So this is not like a – I'm going to be a little bit – I don't know. I need – this team has to surprise me. Like, they've got to do something that we're not expecting. That's kind of my – what we need is something we don't even know. It's a known unknown. We just need to see them surprise us in some way. Is that going to be a Kirk Cousins deep ball? Is that going to be, you know, Tyler Algier busting out like a long explosive touchdown run?
Yeah.
Something like that is going to need to happen in order for this Falcons team to, again, to the point we were making before the break, to set them game state up in a way that they can win. Will that happen? I don't think so. I don't see the Falcons winning this game. My score prediction is going to be, it's coming to me, 34-17. I think it's going to get out of hand as the game goes on.
Ouch. Yeah, well, let's hope that doesn't happen. My whole key to a win, it all comes back to the Falcons taking something out of the Vikings playbook. And no, not the scoreline. Don't do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the defense, that Vikings defense specifically, was able to do to Sam Darnold in this offense. And it creates turnovers. It creates some uncertainty. Put them into a third and long. I don't want to say suffocate Jackson Smith and Jigba, but hold them back a little bit, maybe under 100 yards. They've been pretty good at that.
That'd be a win.
That'd be a pretty big win. A.J. Terrell, it's going to be a big opportunity here for him in this game. But, look, the Vikings were able to do it last week. They got pressure on Sam Darnold. I think they sacked him four times. They lost the game, or they won the game, 26-0, the Seahawks did. But it's going to be a really interesting one. That's going to be the biggest thing. If you can get some pressure, force some turnovers, get some sacks, that's going to give the Falcons their best shot at a win. Final score prediction, I don't know. I'm not going to be quite as bullish as you were. Maybe a 27-20, I'd say.
That's a more reasonable take.
I'd say something kind of in that range. Maybe a 24-17, something like that. But the Falcons probably, they got their work cut out for them in this one. But, Joe Patrick, that was fun. First time on the Wait For It Tailgate Show with you, and really very much enjoyed it. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we got the Falcons Radio Network coming up here after this. My name is Garrett Chapman. That's Joe Patrick. We are here at Centennial Yards. Big thank you to all of you who listen, and Noel back at the station. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons are on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.